Hello, and welcome to your Special Olympics Wisconsin podcast series, Athlete Voice. Special Olympics Wisconsin provides year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities, giving them continuing opportunities to develop physical fitness, demonstrate courage, and experience joy while participating in a sharing of gifts, skills, and friendship with their families, Special Olympics athletes, and the community. And I'm Addie Teeters. I'm one of the co-hosts of this awesome podcast, and I'm so excited to introduce my co-host, Edward. Edward, say hello.
Hello.
And Edward, can you introduce, we've got two special guests today. Can you introduce our guests?
They're not only guests, but they're two of my near and dear friends. We have Lexi Galarowitz and Jamie.
Hey, Lexi and Jamie, how are you guys?
Good. How about you?
We're doing great. Why don't you guys get us started by introducing yourselves a little bit? Tell us about your Special Olympics journey. Jamie, do you want to get started?
Sure. My name is Jamie Jenks. I have been working in the office for, it'll be a year and a half, I think. And I have been an athlete for over 10 years. Kind of been back and forth because I was in sports for school and stuff. So I wasn't always in Special Olympics, but I would come back each year that I could.
And Lexi, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Lexi Galarowitz. I have been an athlete for 6 years. I have been working for Special Olympics for a little over 2 years now.
So both of you talked about this. This is the cool thing that maybe our listeners don't necessarily understand. All four of us are co-workers. All four of us work for the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement. And tell me about your jobs. Lexi, what do you do every day?
So what I do is I work with our athlete leadership program, which gives athletes the opportunity to learn about leadership and become leaders, build confidence with them in themselves. We do roughly a class a month, and then I also oversee our athlete leadership council, which is the highest honor an athlete leader can get to besides serving on our board of directors. And so there's two athletes per region. So we have seven different regions, two athletes each. So that's 14 athletes. And then we have a few different liaisons on some of the different communities and stuff we have within our organization. So our two athletes on our board of directors are liaisons. Athlete who is on the council for the law enforcement torch one, or LETR, is a liaison. And then right now we have an athlete on the U.S. Athlete Leadership Council. So they're on as a liaison for their term.
Jamie, what is your day in, day out look like when you're working with Special Olympics?
I pretty much take care of the mail. I help whatever needs to be done here at the Madison office. For instance, we have what we call binder days. So for the state games, we get those all set up, name tags, get everything set up for what the coaches need in their packets and everything for the games. I just do different kinds of lists, whatever needs to be done around here, pretty much.
Jamie and Lexi, did you guys ever think, because sometimes I have to pinch myself thinking that this is a job, because when you're having fun, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, if you're having fun, it's not really a job. Did you ever think you'd be at this point working for Special Olympics?
I certainly didn't. I kind of got in by somebody else just saying that, you know, I had done administrative professional. I had gone to school for that. And somebody from Special Olympics brought me in, and I was tickled to death about it. So,
so when I was in school for hospitality, I kind of knew I wanted to go into the nonprofit side of that, but versus within like a hotel chain or golf resort, I knew I wanted to do something more impactful. So going on into the nonprofit side is where I knew I wanted to end up. So I didn't know where a nonprofit I wanted to end up. And I just ended up starting to make connections here. And then I started working here. So.
And we are always talking to people about why it's important to hire and to employ individuals with physical and intellectual disabilities. And what's some advice that you guys have for employers out there? You know, how do they go about making their workplace a comfortable environment for individuals with different disabilities?
I would say don't underestimate them and make them or think that they can't do something because they have an intellectual disability. They might be just as capable, but they might need a little more help or assistance with certain things. But that doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing a job.
I have to go right with you on that, Lexi, because of the fact that I was told, even by some teachers, that I would never be able to do this kind of a job. And a lot of times I'd go in for interviews and they would tell me, well, you're not the one. But I knew it was because I didn't have the experience, but I also am a little bit slower at some of the things, but I do a good job. I sometimes have to ask questions to make sure, you know, I understand what's going on. So I guess I would tell everybody that, you know, no matter if you have a disability or not, let them show you that they can do it, that they're, you know, we may be slower than others, but we'll figure it out.
Sometimes we all just have to go at our own pace, but we do that so that we know we're getting things done correctly, right? We all do that.
I know Jamie's been an athlete for about 10 years and Lexi's been at about 6. But what have been some of your highlights? Because I know you both went to USA Games 2022. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. What are some of your highlights? Yeah.
I don't know. I have a picture. I should have brought it with me. But back my very first time of doing anything Special Olympics, I had to have been like, I think 11 years old. I got to carry the torch for the basketball skills, and I got to carry that around the gym, and that was like one of my highlights. And then of course when we went to the USA Games, it was the most awesome experience, except it was hotter than Hades. I had so much fun down there. I was nervous, but it was an experience to remember. I honestly can't tell you why I was nervous, because at state games and as we call them, home meets, I wasn't nervous at all. So I don't know, maybe it was just the upper competition, but I absolutely loved it. It showed a lot of strength, and I ended up coming back with bronze for singles. For doubles, we got fifth place, and then for team, we got silver. So that was our best thing.
Yeah, that's so cool. How about you, Lexi? What was USA Games like?
Yeah, To go off of Jamie's comment, yes, it was hot, but we were also in Florida. So it's going to be hot in the beginning of June. to go also, so I went for swimming and Jamie went for bocce. So I understand the nerves. I think I got more nervous for our final than I did our prelims. Just I think going on that bigger stage and besides Worlds, it's the highest you can go. And I think USA Games is a little easier to get to than Worlds, as it's more focused on the North America Special Olympics. So we each state gets to bring athletes versus the Worlds. We go as Team USA. So each state only might get one or two athletes depending on their population. And but I think the biggest thing for me with USA Games was after opening ceremonies, we went to a basketball stadium and we had the whole main seats and the floor all the way filled with athletes and coaches. So just seeing that there's that many people that are competing, I think it was 19 different sports if I remember correctly. So that was just kind of crazy, and it I'm just like wrapping my head around how many people there were.
Right, there was an entire arena filled with fellow athletes. That must have felt like just so empowering.
Yeah, I loved it. I just want to add a little bit if I could. As Lexi was saying, we only get selected in a camp. And it depends on how you look at this, but my husband and I kind of were competing against each other to see who would get to go. There was 12 girls and only 5 guys. And they were only picking 4 of each. And so my husband decided to tell me, I've got a better chance than you. And I thought that was pretty cool. But at the same point, me being the sassy girl has to say, yeah, well, we'll see who gets the better end. So I ended up making it. My husband didn't. So we kind of compete a little bit about that. But he ended up going to the 2014 games in Jersey, and he went to the 2018 games in Seattle. So I said it was my turn to be able to do something.
Well, and there's it's okay to have a little healthy competition with our partners sometimes, right? I think so. And you know, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, Special Olympics forges a lot of friendships, a lot of relationships. I mean, Jamie, this is how you met your husband, right? I mean, the amount of friends that you all have found and connected with through Special Olympics is just mind-boggling to me. Can you guys talk about that?
I guess I would say for Edward, you know, we help him get around, you know, because he's in a wheelchair, and that bonds us in that way. Lexi doesn't see real well, so I help her, you know, guide her around. Me, my brain is always mismatched, so I forget things. So between the two of them, they always help me remember. And it comes to make a friendship even better when you can help each other.
Not too many people know this, but me and Jamie have the same disability. We both have cerebral palsy, but it affects us differently. Like, I'm in a chair, so I'm at a different level than Jamie, but I asked Jamie how it affects her, and we have some of the same characteristics there, so I can relate to her. I don't have very many friends with cerebral palsy, so.
Well, and I think that raises a really important point that, you know, their intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, they're so diverse, right? There's so much diversity in people. Sometimes people look different. Sometimes people physically move differently, but we can't assume that everybody's having the same experience, right?
Well, they told me a lot that I didn't have a disability because I don't look like I have a disability. I don't act or walk or whatever you want to call it. I don't look like I have it. The only thing you would notice is I have a more of a hunched back. But to me, I don't like it because I want to be like everybody else, you know, have a straight back, whatever. But it is what it is. And you got to deal with what life deals you. And that's the way I was kind of raised. You just kind of go with the flow and just say, I am who I am.
And Lexi, tell us about how growing up, you know, you and I have talked a lot about just the experiences you had of going to the blind school in the state of Wisconsin and how that evolved to, you know, now going to school, working, you know, being a leader with Special Olympics movement. I mean, that evolution has had to be just a lot of work, but also, you know, you've got to be so proud of where you've come to. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So with the blind school in Janesville, Wisconsin, I was there for 3 years to kind of help with different skills I couldn't learn in high school, like daily living skills, braille, different things like that, and as well as be able to go to the two-year school down there and see how I would be able to do with some extra assistance from the blind school. And so with that experience, I was able to learn and grow, and then I was able to transfer from the two-year to the University of Wisconsin-South in Menominee, Wisconsin. And so I think without that experience, I wouldn't have been able to make it to college, because there would be a lot of struggle and hiccups I wouldn't have known. Just going straight into a 4 year, or having that experience with the blind school, and the 2 year made it a lot easier transition. And then with the blind school, we were able to compete in different sports with other blind schools around the country. So that was really fun. And then that's kind of how I learned about Special Olympics, was through the gym teacher at the blind school, and then getting involved in Special Olympics, I think has given me that like opportunity I didn't have growing up, with being able to do sports or compete in sports. I'm able to do that now and for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And, you know, let's start with Edward. Could you each kind of give us your perspective as to why is the Special Olympics movement so vital in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation? Why do we need people to care about the work that we're doing, Edward?
I think because it gives you confidence, character, and it builds you who you are. Because when I won my first race, I knew I belonged. I knew I fit in. I always wanted to do sports growing up. So I think it builds confidence, character, and it lets you know you really can do anything. Once you're in an event, because I like I said, I'm in a wheelchair, so I'm competing sitting down. So at the basketball field competition, I competed against 5 or 6 other people that were standing up, and I got first place. So that being in a wheelchair is just it doesn't define who I am. The wheelchair is not me. It's just I'm still an athlete. I'm me. So
for me, going through school, I was always picked on. I was always the one that was chosen last to play any of the sports because I wasn't good. I wasn't fast. I couldn't catch a ball. I did play regular sports or tried to.
So I think one of the reasons is showing that just because people have intellectual disabilities doesn't mean that they're not able to do things or not able to be a leader, which I think is one of our biggest strengths within athlete leadership. So in our mission, which you read earlier, the word intellectual disability used to be the R word. And so it was athlete boys, athlete leaders, who convinced our founder, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, to change it to intellectual disabilities because they felt offended by having the R word in it. So that's the only thing that has changed in our mission and since she created it.
And Lexi and Addie, I have a question for you. How has working for Special Olympics changed your life?
Well, Special Olympics has changed my life, completely done a 180, honestly. I got into this work because I felt really strongly about creating inclusive communities and making sure that all elements of diversity, equity, inclusion were addressed and starting to be repaired in our state. And to see the work that you all are doing day in and day out, it just makes me work harder. And it just makes me want to do more every single day. And I think that's how a lot of not only our coworkers feel, but I think volunteers, anybody who's involved in the movement, I think once you get involved, you just can't stop because you realize that there's always more work to be done. And how do you feel about that, Lexi?
Just knowing that there's so many people who are like me in at least some type of way, that I wasn't alone, I think what is one of the biggest things for me, at least. But then obviously once started working and learning more about the mission and the organization, realizing how much people with intellectual disabilities struggle with health, so having healthy athletes, like why that means so much, why is that so important? And since being an adult and not being obviously on my parents' insurance and stuff, just like being on the state insurance and stuff, seeing how big of a difference that is, because it can be a struggle to find different providers that will accept the state insurance. As well, just knowing the amount of athletes we benefit, also knowing out there that there are other organizations that do so much within other aspects of disabilities.
If there's someone out there who's curious about Special Olympics Wisconsin, who is starting to listen to this podcast and they're feeling that pull, that they want to do more or they know they should do more, what would you say to convince them that this is a movement to get a part of?
Knowing my background as far as, you know, being chosen last, and you know, I also didn't know before I started working here about all of the classes, about you can get your eyes checked, you can get your feet checked, you can, you know, to be honest with you, I came from a small town and nobody knew about any of these classes. Nobody knew about what Special Olympics is more about besides sports. If you feel you want to be involved, honestly, sometimes we have the most awesomest time just being around people who, you know, may not always be exactly like you. And, you know, sometimes we have the funny things. We had something happen on our basketball team that nobody thought would happen. And we just all busted out laughing just because it was something that was funny. And everybody has their own personality. Everybody doesn't understand everything, but that's a good thing sometimes.
Exactly. What about you, Edward?
I was going to say, two thoughts. I was going to say, come to a competition because it will open your eyes and change your life. And the second one is, when I go to a competition for that day, because we all know how society likes to judge things, for that day, I do not feel judged. I feel like I'm on an equal playing field. And so, and if you come and volunteer, we won't judge you because we don't like to be judged.
So even for volunteers, even for people that are just checking us out for the first time, you instantly walk in and you feel welcomed, right?
And even some of us that know the sports better than you may know it, we'll help you out. We're willing to, you know, say, hey, did you know this? And you say, no. Well, okay. Well, we know how to do this. This is how we've done it.
What about you, Lexi? Why should people get involved in this movement? Why should people care?
So I think, Addie, you said it earlier. Once you have that, like, bug, it's kind of in you for the rest of your life. So having that opportunity, also seeing that people with intellectual disabilities can do so many different things that you might not even think is possible. And one of the things that I think is the coolest is when you see kids volunteering with their parents at regional or state competitions and getting them introduced to it early and showing that, hey, just because you have a disability doesn't mean you're not able to do things.
For those out there who don't know, our vision is sport will open hearts and minds towards people with intellectual disabilities and create inclusive communities across Wisconsin. And globally, we strive to end discrimination against people with ID. And Lexi, Jamie, Edward, the work you are all doing is just that. You're working day in and day out to end discrimination, to open people's hearts and minds. And I'm so grateful for the work that you do for Special Olympics Wisconsin. If somebody wants to get involved, where do they get started, Lexi?
So they go to our website, specialolympicswisconsin.org, and then you're going to go over to the side, and then on the side, you're going to hit see our event calendar. If you want to hit that, it'll show you all the different events, and then once you figure out what event or events you want to volunteer for, you will go into that event, and then there should be a link to sign up.
And Edward, we're going to be coming back with another podcast in about another month. Why should people stop back and keep listening to this podcast, Edward?
Because there's so many topics you have to cover. There's so many exciting people to interview, and that's why you have to come back, because you never know what opportunities or what things are going to come your way.
That's right. We hope that you will come back and tune into our podcast once again. But as our team mentioned here, if you have any interest in learning more about Special Olympics Wisconsin, in the meantime, please visit www.specialolympicswisconsin.org. Thanks, everyone.